Next up, Cherokee by Clifford Brown and the Max Roach Quintet from Studyin' Brown.
The following program is the conclusion to a tribute to the late Dick Gregory, entertainer, civil rights activist, and wellness guru. Gregory died of heart failure on August 19, 2017. He was 84.
From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
Peace to that whole black voice, man. It's the only voice that's honest in America today. And that's basically because that while the white racist power structure was looking at everything as they underestimated black radio, because at one time it wasn't nothing but hooping and hollering and playing the next Shake Your Booty record.
Mm-hmm.
And then all at once things started changing, new people started coming in, and they never realized they would have black voices like you or Tom John or the whole Kathy Hughes piece. And it's kind of interesting. See, black radio have to be like the black Muslims. They know in the world the way the system go after them, they could ever be dealing in drugs.
Right.
And so black radio can never violate. They'd be off in the morning.
In the morning.
And so consequently, I've always felt that money is not power and education is not power, but information is power. So if you give me bad information, I got bad power. The problem in America, which makes your voice so important.
Dick Gregory, comedian, civil rights activist, and spokesman for health issues. This past March, Gregory was the keynote speaker at the 14th annual Heman Sweat Symposium on Civil Rights, held on the campus of the University of Texas at Austin. In 1949, Sweat applied for admission to the UT Law School, but was denied admission on the basis of race. With the help and assistance of the NAACP, he brought legal action against the university. In the landmark case Sweat v. Painter, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that separate law school facilities could not provide a legal education equal in quality to that available at the University of Texas Law School, one of the nation's ranking law schools. In 1950, Sweat entered the University of Texas School of Law. I'm Johnny L. Hansen, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, comedian and civil rights activist Dick Gregory, Part 2, In Black America.
For years, I didn't know Time magazine, and New York Times had a problem, because no one that I knew was ever in that. And then when the civil rights movement hit, we would see one thing happen and then see something else go down. I didn't understand the power of white folks, because the little low-level white folks I've been around, and one of the things would make white folks mad, and I don't blame them. See, most black folks is mad at the wrong white folks. See, the white folks we mad at couldn't help us if they liked us. Matter of fact, they'll kill them on the way to get me and you. But we don't know nothing but that low-level, hateful, nasty, ungodly, hate himself and his wife, white boy. And as long as we think, like I did for years, that was the real white boy. I remember we used to make statements, redneck, ignorant, cracker. Well, how dumb do we have to be to realize it can't no reading, no writing, no educated white boy determine policies for America?
Famous for his hunger strikes, his mobilization for social change, his Bahamian diet, his comedy career, and his anti-drug activities, Dick Gregory is a unique and complex man. Born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri, he grew up shining shoes to help feed his family. At Sumner High School, he led a march against conditions in segregated schools and set a state record in track. As a star comedian in the early 1960s, he used biting racial satire and shunned the stereotypes of early black comics. Prompted by the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., he became a civil rights activist and anti-war leader, running for president in 1968 and fasting for human rights both here and abroad. On today's program, we conclude our conversation with Dick Gregory.
When you have AOL and Time Warner make a deal, now this is communication. That's all you heard that day. Jane Fonda's stock in 24 hours, just the Time Warner, did, I think, $20 million. And then the next 3 days, it lost $30 billion because they did it with paper money and pulled real money out. Mm-hmm. And so when you stop and think about, we, on the Kathy Hughes station, the second, third day after the O.J. fiasco.
And this is the one in Washington?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had got a peep at the autopsy. Mm-hmm. I found out later, and that's the power of God is incredible, I found out later that the Russian spy satellite just happened to have been over the West Coast, so they filmed the whole thing. Sent it to the State Department and never got a response back. You know, it's kind of interesting when we have a thing called whisper helicopters. And for those of you who don't know it, whisper helicopter, you can't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
10,000 of us can be in your yard for a cookout.
Mm-hmm.
And the whisper helicopter come by, and they can come down and kill us all. Nobody heard nothing except the dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the O.J. dog was acting a fool and nobody else heard nothing. It was the whisper helicopters. Now, this is what we do. 5 years later, then white folk come out. I knew Waco from the first day.
Mm-hmm. But the outcome was...
See, most folks didn't know that Waco was Seventh-day Adventist. They played him off of some old radical group.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They've been in 40 years. And when David Koresh kicked that other thug out, found he was making crack for the government. You see, first, how can I be stupid enough to believe that you would go and buy $400,000 Rolls Royce and reduce them to $1,500 Chevys? How can I be stupid enough you're going to take expensive cocaine and reduce it down to some cheap something that poor folk can afford? That's something wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, he was going to do an interview with the woman from the Waco paper at 8 o'clock that morning. The government made the raid at 7. Now, we got to ask a question. You celebrate your birthday on the eve, just right. People who don't know Universal Order. Mm-hmm. It was 24 hours before I came out when the party started. Christmas Eve party, New Year's Eve party. Mm-hmm. We burnt Waco down on Hitler's eve of his birthday. Mm-hmm. Okay, birthday's the 20th, we burn it down on the 19th. 55 days standoff, lying, saying that. Then when the records came out, they said, oh, no, we made a mistake. This wasn't happening to them children. But you etch into the memory bank of people every day. And nobody stops and say, if the United States military can go to a foreign country they never been in before and take our tanks and our heavy equipment and build roads and highways within 24 hours, how come we didn't dig a tunnel under that place and slide under and put some gas in there and put them to sleep? What's that about? Okay. And so when you start looking and, uh-huh. and seeing, and so we were able to say things on black radio that would never be permitted on white neighborhood because of the control. The vicious control, the evilness of the little Cuban boy. Who knows when that fiasco will end, but there's certain questions that have to be asked. See, I never trusted Castro. I'm one of the few liberal-minded, lay my life down for human rights because 98% of Castro's Air Force is white Cubans and 98% of Castro's Army is black Cubans. Mm-hmm. Cuba's 72% black Cubans. That's not reflected in Miami, so why did he just let the light ones come so America wouldn't? But see, we forget, America pays Castro $500 million. I'm going to repeat this twice. $500 million every month Castro gets a check, and if these rednecks found that out, they'd be out of their mind. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to be too smart. One of the largest naval bases in the world is Guantanamo Base. Okay, right. Now, how do I put my base on my enemy territory, and how did my enemy let me keep it there? Something wrong with that picture, man. Mm-hmm. You know, something's wrong.
For those that aren't familiar, and I'm speaking to this younger generation, this new generation, give us an idea of what was like for Dick Gregory growing up in St. Louis.
It wasn't as hard then as it is now because okay. We was ignorant.
Okay.
See, if you're ignorant to what's happening, I never knew anything about I was supposed to go to certain schools. Mm-hmm. I grew up inspired to be a streetcar conductor because black folk couldn't drive streetcars. Okay. Think about it. What? And at that time, all the streetcar drivers was white. Only did the bus drivers, streetcar drivers change after the violence, after it became a bad job. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they still controlled the union. So if you take Chicago, which is 99% black driver, and the union's 100% controlled, so all they got to do is make a deal with Daley, and then black folks never get no benefits. Mm-hmm. That's what we see. So it's a new game to change. But I grew up seeing bad things. Mm-hmm. I grew up, I knew who the cop was. Black cop couldn't arrest a white murderer. In St. Louis. We had two fire stations, the black fire station, the white fire station, two hospitals, City Hospital number one, City Hospital number two. So it was, uh-huh. We couldn't eat in white restaurants. We couldn't go to a store and try on a pair of shoes. You just have to order it and they threw your money and your change back out. You couldn't uh-huh. try on a hat, you couldn't try on a dress. See, I didn't know about black folks sitting in the balcony and white folks sit down. We didn't have white movies you could go to. So to sit in the balcony in the black movie, you had to know somebody, right. Man. That was high class. So when I get to Southern Illinois University and up in the balcony, man, I'm saying they let me see. I set the world's record in the high school mile. Mm-hmm. Didn't get credit for it because I had a nigga. But I thought I was sitting up there because I was Dick Gregory. I didn't know that's what they. And so consequently, growing up black then, it wasn't too much you inspired for. One of the interesting things that I can reach back that most of your black business people and the people that was talked about education were Republicans. They weren't this new kind of insulting Negro that we have now, the Clarence Thomas type Negro, who, by the way, Clarence Thomas was a Black Panther lieutenant when he was a... Uh-huh. He just know how to trick white folks, and white folks is silly enough to be tricked and go for that okey-doke. But somewhere, and see, I blame black women on Clarence Thomas type Negroes, because 98% of them are black, wide nose, big jaws, big lips, kinky hair, and the sister wouldn't go to the prom with them. And so they get mad at all black folks, mad white women, hate us all, so sisters, give us a break, please. And so consequently, what happens is you have Jackie Robinson was a Republican. Jesse Owens was a Republican. Martin Luther King's family were Republicans. And so this new type of Republican that comes during the time and say what white folks want to hear, that vicious one, the one who don't know God, thinking they do, they feel comfortable with that one. But it's funny, you don't hear them type of Negroes talk out when white folks said the other day that 90% of the women get strip searched in airports as black women, and then the day after that, they bust Federal Express 130 million pounds of marijuana while they watching the sister. But you don't hear that voice. When they do a survey, white folks, and say that a black man with a doctor's degree is more likely not to get a loan than a white boy that dropped out of grade school, you don't hear from them. And so I came up where there was a different type of a black Republican that had integrity. And so you was locked in a vicious system that you didn't know any different. You didn't know any better. And so I wouldn't expect, I have 10 children. I wouldn't expect my children to even be able to relate with that. The biggest horror I had is back then, nobody carried me back past slavery to who I was.
Okay.
They carried me to Negro history. We hear black folks now talking about Negro history. You don't hear them to talk about the black folks that they forgot to put in the history book. Well, you're dealing with a racist system. Why wouldn't you? I tell black folks, man, if you got folks cheat on their old lady and then go home and lie, what do you think this boy doing? He's trying to cheat on the whole world. But my history go back past slavery. Nobody told me that the strongest two forces in the history of America has always been the black woman and the black church. That's why both of them are under attack. They never blew up a black crack house or burnt down a black hoe house, but a black church. And the black woman, my God, this country never would have survived without that force. When I think about the hurricane season, and it's kind of interesting because I tell people there's no way I know this, and top meteorologists don't know this. They just don't talk about it. Hurricanes, not hiscanes, hurricanes, named after, that's the spirit of the black woman. See, all hurricanes start in West Africa at the very part that the slaves was put on the ship. It don't start 10 miles from there or in the vicinity. All hurricanes stay on the water and follow the same trail that the slave ship followed. No slave was offloaded the ship until he got to the Caribbean. No hurricane jumps above water until he gets to the Caribbean. It will hit this country and come all the way up the East Coast, all the way to Maine. Canada's right across the street from Maine, and Canada's never had a hurricane because Canada's never done to black women what America have. And one day when that black sister really understand what her spirit is about, she changed this whole, the whole piece. And so you look at then and now, when you see, I was brought up to believe that if you could just get around an educated white boy, the Harvards and the Yales, and I didn't realize that back when I was a child, Harvard had a quota on black folks, and if you was as black as me and you, you couldn't get in Harvard. You know, I tell people, when you go to these schools, take out the liberal ones that you, take out their yearbook, go 150, go where Clarence Thomas went to, Colgate. Go back there and get the yearbook, 100 years old, see if you saw anything but Adam Clayton Powell type Negroes. There was no room for black folks then, you know. And so consequently, what happened as you grew up with this mentality of who you was from slavery, but not back before slavery. So for instance, young folks today, there's more lies that's told to them by the establishment now, because as you get free and the consciousness opens up, you know, I wouldn't have dared asked a question of my mother because of ignorance of if Easter and Good Friday represent the crucifixion of Christ, which I don't have no problem with that. I have a problem with one year coming in April, another year coming in March, because you can't be killed in two different months. Well, I got enough sense now to know that Easter is determined. And then the pagans were celebrating Christmas, Easter, 3,000 years before Christ was born. And now I realize that Easter is always the first Monday after the first new moon, after the first full moon, after the spring equinox. So then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday on your fingers. Yeah. They told me 3 days, but they kept giving it to me on the second day. So this cannot happen no more. And so when you look at where we are, it's kind of interesting, your name. Somebody brought me some information once, and I decided that Black Radio, we could get it out. America's birthday is July the 4th, 1776, but George Washington didn't become president to 89 because there was eight black presidents before him, and the first one was John Hanson. So on the Kathy Hughes radio station, we put it out there that John Hanson was the first president.
And it's today as we record this program.
It's
John Hanson Day. Today.
Yeah, well, see, well, let me, I'm going to show you more than that, and I'll give you these documents. Is John Hanson Day where?
In Maryland. They're celebrating it today.
Okay, now. Have you ever been to Maryland?
Yes.
You been on Highway 50?
Yes.
The John Hanson Highway?
John Hanson Highway.
Now, let's ask the question. What did a black man do to get a highway named after him? They don't have highway named after black folks in Africa.
Right.
What did he do? So now, after we get it out there, and we do the Stevie Wonder Station and WVO in Chicago, here's the way a white racist system answers us, and it's very interesting. If you look at that website there, if you punch that up, here's a come off. What's that headline say? What's that say?
George Washington, our ninth president.
Oh, see? Now, the interesting thing about that, they will tell you that George Washington was the ninth president. They tell you Hanson was the first, but they don't tell you Hanson was a black man.
They certainly don't.
Now, if you get the $2 bill, you ever looked at the left side of the $2 bill, the black man sitting in the chair?
Right.
That's John Hanson. Okay? Now, this is interesting. And this is the power of black radio. What's the date on that paper, and what paper is that?
It's August 13th, 1998, Washington Post.
And it says everybody knows what?
Everybody knows George Washington was the first president.
Over here says everybody what?
Everyone is wrong.
Keep after that. What's after that?
John Hanson was elected president 7 years before
now
Washington.
Now think about the power of black. Who would have ever thought one of the major white papers on this planet would be forced because of black radio? The trick is, right now, they don't have to say he was a black man. That's how they get around it. But just the fact that it's out there that, you know, and I tell folks when y'all celebrate Thanksgiving this year, you know, celebrate it right. Here's the Thanksgiving Proclamation. What does that say there at the top?
Continental Congress, Thanksgiving Proclamation, 1782.
Signed by who?
Signed by John Hanson, president, and Charles Thompson, secretary.
You see, and the reason I bring this up is I get copies of this and give it to you since some kind of way you connected. You know, you got presidential blood in you. Yeah, you see, some kind of way when we understand when the Pilgrims got here. You see, when the Mayflower got here, he didn't, that boy didn't make no mistake. You remember, he had maps of the New World. So he wasn't thought he was going to Calcutta. You see, the trick is, if I say I lost my mind, that's a sympathetic thing. See, once I lose my mind, whoever I kill, I can't get the lecture chair. If I say child is lost, when you say lost, so they put the word loss first. And then by the time you deal with loss as a child, you don't deal with what he did with the Indians and stole the country and the whole scene. But when he got here, the Moors was already here.
Right.
And so when the 13 colonies was put together, that was put together under the direction of the Moors. The Moors had so much power. Now, remember, the Moors came out of Spain by way of Morocco. So when the 13 colonies was put together, the first treaty the 13 colonies America had with anybody in the world was Morocco because of the influence that the Moors had. Now, the Moroccan flag was a white flag with a red cherry on it. When Washington became president, he broke the treaty with Morocco. That was the code where George Washington chopped the cherry tree down. So if you don't understand the codes and the system, we won't know who we are otherwise. But there's a spirit inside of us. If we be quiet and listen, we can see that dignity and feel that gentle peace and know that I'm not controlled by a white racist system. You see, white racist people don't bother me. Every black I know is hip enough to make a white racist redneck cracker like them. It's a white racist system that have no mother, no conscience, no God, and which I'm part of. It's in the mind. And so when you ask, what I was then and now, we knew what was going on in the black community. We don't today unless it's negative. For instance, my baby son, financial analyst for the city of New York, little young punk, if there's 13 brilliant people on the planet, he's between one and three. Now, he can't tell them white folks how to spend $34 billion, but they can't touch it till Johansson analyzes it. Boy ain't combed his hair in 19 years, okay? But so now, I just happen to know that because he's my son. But how many of us have people, we stories we can tell like this, that we 60 Minutes don't tell about? I got a daughter that worked for one of the major Fortune 500 companies, and every day she determined how many white boys going to be fired. And I said, well, dear, you come from a family of human rights. Why don't you teach them? She said, Dad, they're just too dumb. Who would have ever thought, okay, when I was a little boy, that a little quiet, peaceful black woman, okay, would be in a position to tell white boys, you can't work here no more. I mean, big time, she do $3 million bonuses every year. Went to London School of Economics, got her master's and her doctor's degree. Who, you understand what I'm saying? But if that wasn't my daughter, she got a doctor's degree in sex harassment at the workplace, which means if she came in to testify for you today, they can't bring nobody else in because she's the only recognized authority. Well, if that wasn't my daughter, I wouldn't know that. And so I'm saying, how many others can we multiply like this? And this is why South Carolina got to bring the flag down. That company my daughter worked for wouldn't dare go to South Carolina to insult her as important as she is to that company. When you look at all the black folks, Maytag run by a black brother, they going, and so this is why there's a whole big difference today that's totally different. And the Clarence Thomas will never get his picture on a stamp, but Malcolm X did. Yeah. You see, in this white boy's mad as madness, he still understands beauty.
Throughout your life, you've always been concerned and conscious about health and diet.
No, we have to change that. I haven't been.
There was a time. Okay.
Let me say this and I'll let you say. I was a fifth of scotch a day, four packs of cigarettes a day. You know, my top weight was 365 pounds.
Right. Okay.
I mean, if someone would have told me I sit across you today, today is my 40th day of a water fast. Okay. If somebody would have told me that then, I said, man, what kind of drugs are you on? Now go back and fetch one to change that.
We'll say.
I could say that.
1970.
Yes.
Just go back to 1970.
Now we got it. Yes.
Why has that been such a rallying cry and such a burning desire for you to get that message across?
Because the things that killed black folks and was killing me, the Ku Klux Klan didn't give it to me. The White Citizen Council didn't give it to me. My mother, my school, my church, my government. And I'm outraged that I can go through grade school, high school, and college and know that one of the worst things you can put in a human body is cow's milk. That no one, the worst thing, the third number one killer on the planet is white refined sugar. When I realized that it wasn't a Ku Klux Klan or nigger hating white folks that injected syphilis into 600 black men in Tuskegee, there was the United States Bureau of Health with the aid of some of the top colleges, research, medical centers in this country. And then when we caught them, we messed up and let them write the protocol. And to this day, not even black folks have asked this question I'm asked now. If you inject syphilis into 600 black men, what about my black woman that lived with him? That was his girlfriend, his wife. And up until this day, when the president brought the brothers to the White House, to this day, nobody has ever said, you can't give it to my man without giving it to my woman. Mm-hmm. And so when I sit around and look at what they've done to my health, I'm going to hold something up. That's Crest toothpaste. If you look at the back where I put a little sign say do not what? What does that say? Do not swallow. Then you got to ask, what do they put in this toothpaste that is so poison they have to put a disclaimer on to say do not swallow? Now down at the bottom, if you do swallow, what's that last sentence say? Contact who?
Seek professional health poison control center.
Now wait a minute now. Now think about this. That's not on rat poison, brother. Listen. The stuff that's in toothpaste is so poison that an ordinary medical doctor can't help you. You got to contact the Poison Control Center. And those of you that out there that's listening, go to the toilet and look at your toothpaste. And it's on there. We know that military intelligence was in Memphis when King was killed. We knew it from interviews. We knew it from military intelligence. This is the first document we able to get our hands on that says... they were there. That come from the general of military intelligence. After 30 years, it says, look back at the date. They were there from March
28th through April 12th, 1968.
Now, wait a minute. See, you couldn't be running surveillance every day there and not pick up not only King being killed, but who killed him. That's what makes that so important. This is the first document we have from military intelligence that say he was there. And so, you know, just thank God there's a God and things. You know, one of the things that got declassified under the Freedom of Information Act, my poor grandma, sure glad she's not with us. Gene Dixon, world-renowned psychic. Do you know right before Christmas of last year, they had to declassify information under the Freedom of Information Act, and Gene Dixon was a pawn of the FBI? And like 18 months before Kennedy was hit, when she put in her column, JFK had to be careful in Dallas. We know now that Hoover gave that to her.
Now, this is interesting. First item in this particular report, March 28th, 1968, 10:22 hours, Dr. King arrives in Memphis, Tennessee to lead a march in downtown
Memphis.
That
is, from the time he was there to the time he was killed, they followed him.
This has been a tribute to the late Dick Gregory, who died on August 19, 2017. He was 84. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can have previous programs online at KUT.org. Also, you can listen to a special collection of In Black America programs at American Archive of Public Broadcasting. That's AmericanArchives.org. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm John L. Hanson, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.
And you are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Hi, y'all. This is Charlie Daniels. You're listening to my buddy, Eric Jackson Lurie, on WRCT 88.3 FM. Me? Of course you do. Though maybe you haven't seen me in a little while. I'm that drum beat coming through your car radio. And I'm that thumping bass that drags you along with the rhythm. I'm that part of music that makes you wanna dance. Gospel song issuing forth from a Sunday morning church house. I'm the blues at midnight oozing out of a backstreet honky-tonk. I draw my nourishment from the teeming streets of New York City, the lonely grain-covered plains of Minnesota, from cabaret and camp meeting, bayou and beer joint, good times and ghettos. I was born in the house of New Orleans and traveled up the river on the northbound paddle wheelers. I was nurtured in the Mississippi Delta when the seeds of the blues sprang forth from the rich black soil. I was there when Elvis learned to sing, when B.B. got his first guitar. I'm black and white and smooth and rough and hard and soft. I'm the roots of American music, and I'm always there just below the surface. And when the chaff of trend and fad is swept aside, I'm exposed again. Strong, pulsating, and very much alive. The winds of change may blow the tree away, but the roots remain. Then, now, and until the end.
Fortson Session, the defender of the faith, the defender of the gates, your host, Eric Jackson Lurie.
Good evening, Pittsburgh. You're listening to WRCT 88.3 FM, streaming online at WRCT.org. WWRO, Kibler, California, 103.3 FM, time travel radio. I'm your rocking attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie, and this is Courts in Session, heard here every Thursday night from 8 to 10:30. Rock and roll, country, and soul is what we got cooking up for you tonight. And tonight is a special show because, ladies and gentlemen, this is the final Courts in Session for 2022. And if you're a regular listener, you know what that means. That means we're going to play the top five most requested songs by you of the year. And we're going to play it throughout the show. What are those top five songs going to be? Well, you're going to find out. Keep it tuned right here to 88.3 FM. Tonight's show is brought to you in part by our friends at Attic Records, who join you in supporting WRCT. Attic Records, located in Millvale, is open 7 days a week, providing new and used records and CDs. From metal to reggae, hip-hop to doo-wop, and all stops in between, Attic Records has the hottest new releases and all the music you want. They're family-owned and operated, and Attic Records pays for quality-used records and CDs with no collection too big or small. You can visit Attic Records today or give them a call at 412-821-8484 for all the music you need. Attic Records, our sponsor for this hour of Courts in Session. So no court today. I was in the office playing catch up, and no lie, I actually left the office early to prepare for tonight's show because throughout the year, I tabulate and write down not only every song that's played, but every request you make, whether it's via email, via Instagram, or via phone calls to the station. And it took me a while. And I was actually surprised at a couple of the ones that made the cut. A whole lot of them were grouped together just outside the top five, but it's going to be fun, and we're going to get to those real soon. If you'd like to make a request tonight, well, please do. 412-268-9728 is the number. That's 412-268-WRCT. You can email me at WRCT at Eric Jackson Lurie. And if you're on Instagram, you can follow me and direct message me at Eric Jackson Lurie. Tell me what you want to hear, where you're listening in from, and let me get it on the radio for you. So let's kick it off with a recording from the very last album from the Cars back in 2011. The band reunited, put together what was going to be their final album, and it was a good one. We're going to kick off tonight's show with the Cars from Blue Tip, 88.3 FM.
Stupefy the thinkers.
Okay, guys, this is new from Sweet. You spin me round like a record. That's the latest from those glam rockers from the 70s. New music from classic artists right here in Quartz in Session. That is Sweet, covering the Dead or Alive pop hit, You Spin Me Round Like a Record. I think that was pretty cool. New music from Sweet right here in Quartz in Session. I'm your rocket attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie. End of the year, final Quartz in Session show for 2022. What a great year it's been. It's been a terrific year, and I hope you feel the same way. I hope it's just been a terrific year for you and your family and your loved ones, and 2023 is already looking up, so I'm ready. And we're, of course, going to have lots of new music from classic artists and new great music here on Quartz in Session. Talking about great music, you know, I love bragging about the station. If you get yourself to WRCT.org, you can check out the schedule. And one of our most popular shows, and it's popular for a reason, is the Saturday Light Brigade. Host Larry Berger brings you acoustic music, puzzles, interviews, and live performances weekly on the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. And I got to tell you what, Saturday mornings, I'm always tuning in. He has word games that I'm terrible at. But a lot of listeners aren't, and it's a very entertaining, good show, and good family programming. If you got your kids at home listening to the radio, can't go wrong with the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings right here on WRCT Pittsburgh. So have you been putting your heart under too much pressure lately? Uncontrolled high blood pressure is serious, and your heart can quit whenever it wants. But when it quits, you quit. Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or even death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help getting your high blood pressure to a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. That's PRESSURE, text to 97779. This is a message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and WRCT. So let's get to our first request for the evening. This is going out to Don and Gwen. They're new listeners out in Shaler. They wanted to hear the latest from Jethro Tull from their 2022 release, The Zealot Gene. This is Shoshana Sleeping.
Fragrant danger, fingers tremble, trace the line from nape to sacrum down the spine. Poison, prize, a trophy, freely taken, hardly won. A minute holds back hours, but under my hand, she sleeps, breath comes quickly. A sigh, parched silky lips, soft swelled breast, proud golden tips. Thank you.
Sweet Shoshana, names to conjure, fragrant danger. My fingers tremble, trace the line from nape to sacrum down the spine. Sweet sadness fills my heart, offered chances best not taken. Unsullied, no vain glory, chapter, verse, another story. Rushed eyelids gently closed, beauty framed and online. Savored moment blessed, a kiss, farewell, and leave to rest. Sweet pale lily, sweet Shoshana, names to conjure, fragrant danger. Fingers tremble, trace the line from nape to sacrum down the spine.
This is Kenny
and Amanda Smith from Nashville, Tennessee.
Keep it right here on WRCT Pittsburgh.